Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Many months, perhaps.
A few many.
After what we anticipated or expected. I'll start by saying I think that 2023 was perhaps the worst year of my adult life.
I would say the worst year in human history. I'm going to stick by that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very Cedric-centric version of world history.
Yeah. That's how history works, right?
Definitely. Well, we should probably explain maybe a little bit about why it was the worst year fucking ever.
Yeah.
Number one, everyone decided that they love brain damage and circulatory system failure and decided that repeat infections of COVID are good, actually.
Encouraged.
Yeah. The more infections, the better. We are in a rapidly diminishing minority of people who do not feel good about permanent brain damage. I do so many things on a daily and weekly basis to put myself at risk. I don't need another thing.
And, you know, I know, like, we have joked about COVID a bunch throughout the years. Now.
We love years, plural.
And I want to be abundantly clear that public health has failed us.
Public health, as far as I'm concerned, is over.
It doesn't exist. Our government, the world's governments, have failed us.
Can we illustrate? I just, because I know that we're cranks, right, at this point.
Yeah, no, I know.
We're the ones, like, kind of bringing everyone down. It's wild that the standards of mitigation have actually gotten measurably worse since the pandemic was at its peak, which, for the record, we are recording in the midst of the second highest surge of the entire pandemic, which no one knows or realizes because everyone talks about it as if it's a past tense thing.
Yeah. Which is like, it's if like you haven't been keeping up with it, and unfortunately, I keep up with it in a way that is probably borderline unhealthy.
Borderline.
But, you know, it's like every new thing that I learn about COVID, none of it is good. And for me, it's like, all right, like, I guess I'm gonna have to keep masking until we have a vaccine that does better than just making sure you don't end up dead.
I was talking
with a debilitating disability that keeps you bedridden. And I think what's frustrating is that it's like hard to gauge. Like, I don't know who knows about long COVID. I don't know if, like, we don't think about, like, the long-term repercussions of, you know, mild to moderate infections anymore. Like, I don't know. It's, like, hard to talk about because it's just, like...
Well, no one thinks about themselves as a potentially disabled person.
Right.
And I think that's actually part of the...
Potentially is not even the right word. I would say everyone is on their way
an to eventually be disabled person. But what's wild about the most recent, like, chain of arguments is like, oh, well, long COVID is really only a risk if you have these other comorbidities. And it's funny to hear people say that to me because I'm like, okay, but I have those. So it is actually more important for me than you, perhaps, to take these kinds of precautions.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, having COVID once is a comorbidity. I don't know. I mean, that argument doesn't stick for me because it's just like there are healthy people just...
Absolutely. No one talks about the fact that we're having a 9/11 in this country every few weeks and... and we don't talk about. Like, we don't internalize the fact that thousands of people are dying each month and...
Each week.
Thousands of people are dying each week, and we're crazy because we want to take it seriously.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I do feel like I'm becoming a crank. I am, though.
We're definitely cranks. We're beyond cranks.
I know. I don't know. As dangerous as I think it is, I just, like, can't. I'm still, you know, like, please put on a mask, a good one. If you can't afford them, find a mask block. Fuck, email me. I will buy you some masks. Like, that is how serious I feel about this. And I've been reading The Viral Underclass, my first audiobook.
Oh, wow.
By...
Can you say reading?
By Stephen W. Thrasher. And, you know, I was like, can you...
He goes in on Twitter.
Yeah, no. He's down. Yeah. He's down for real. Apparently, you comprehend about the same amount of stuff, whether you listen to it or read it. So I don't know.
I'm talking purely semantically.
Fine. Yeah, no, I know. And like, you're not going to get me as an audio professional to like weigh in on this. It's my first audiobook. I'm enjoying the experience. And I think it is doing a really good job of like checking me, where I'm at and how I think about COVID and the larger society that it is continually running through. So I don't know. I've just been very angry about it. And sometimes reading a book is helpful. So I would highly encourage folks to read it. But
so yeah, I think that's a good place to stop because we could go on forever and this is not a COVID podcast. But that's one big bucket is becoming a pariah over the course of 2023. A pariah for wanting to not die in a horrific way. My bad.
I don't know. I would just say, you know, if you're not checked in, check out the latest news. Or like...
Check the most recent wastewater.
And I'm being sincere. Or like, and I think what's like a big deterrent for me to relax up on my mitigations is just reading people's long COVID experiences, which are not medically rare by any means. It's like, it's enough for me to say, yeah, I'm gonna go out, but I'm still gonna wear an N95 that's well fitted. Unfortunately, like, this is just where we are. So
I would love to go out more. Unfortunately, if I'm not treated like a leper for wearing a mask in the first place.
I don't want to talk about that. I've had some experiences, y'all. It's been so weird.
Like, truly insane situations.
Someone like asked me if I had asthma because I was like...
Do you remember when someone yelled at us from a moving vehicle?
Yeah, someone yelled at us from a moving vehicle.
Anyway, we could go on all day.
We won't.
We're going to stop here. But that was number one. Number two... We have depression.
Oh, did you? Well, I was going to say genocide is number two.
Well, that's a big fueler of my depression.
Well, yes.
Watching, especially being a professional, where like I have to work with people that I know,
yeah,
are cheerleading,
yeah,
genocide.
Still, like,
they can't get enough.
It's January. This start, big air quotes on started back in October. And we're just like, yeah, let's more of it, please.
It's become such a very clear signifier of who believes any of the
bullshit that they spout on Twitter about freedom, liberation, and community and blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say, like, the liberal order.
Oh,
like,
okay, that too.
The idea of, oh, we're saving democracy by voting for the dude that is aiding and abetting and funding genocide with your tax dollars? If you're an American citizen. But if you're a citizen of a Western country, it is also your tax dollars. I don't think there's a single Western nation that joined South Africa. or who are the other countries? Is it Bolivia? Mexico is one. Obviously, Ireland. There are a few places, most of whom that have been colonized,
right,
that are really loudly and vociferously, with their governments, to be clear, doing something or doing as much as they, I guess, can in the face of Western hegemony. Anyway,
I'll say this, and this is something that I talked to Jordan privately, because I think for a majority of people, their entry point into all of this was October 7th. And that's fine. I mean, it's not great, but like, the machine is going to do what it does,
I guess.
So back in 2017, after the murders of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, there was a police officer shooting at a protest in Dallas. You remember that?
I do.
Okay. I remember working in an office at the time and going in that day. And all my white coworkers were like, hey, did you hear about this shooting that happened in Dallas? And I was like, yeah, it's awful. It sucks. But do you know, like, why the protest was happening in the first place? Like, what's, you know, da, da, da. And they were like, no. And I, like, started to talk about why people were protesting in the first place. Well, yes. And that they were very disinterested, and that conversation ended very quickly. That sort of reaction sort of was a parallel to me, but it also was like, in an ideal world, police officers wouldn't exist. And in an ideal world, if they didn't exist, then Black people wouldn't be killed by them. And then we wouldn't have any of these issues. In a perfect world, violent colonization wouldn't exist either. Violence begets violence.
I think you should read Frantz Fanon.
I should read him again. I haven't read him since grad school.
I mean, so here's what I'm going to say, that we're already on the list.
Well, yeah, no.
So anyone listening to this, you should know that we're already on the list. You don't need to report us for the list.
I want to bring people in, and not be the angry leftist in this space.
I love that for you.
You can say that in a very, now you catch me in person.
Okay. I love that for you.
Here,
my thought is, I would never condemn Harriet Tubman for shooting white slave owners. I would never condemn Nat Turner's uprising. I would never condemn the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. So you are not going to catch me out on these streets putting crocodile tears on my face about colonizers, literally settler colonizers, being caught up in violence, because violence is their currency.
Yeah.
That is how they enact their hegemony. That is how they rule Palestine. And I don't know what you want me to say about that as an oppressed person. I don't know what you want from me in this moment. All I have for you is free Palestine from the river to the sea. Yeah. That's all I have for you.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't really matter what the other circumstances are.
Yeah.
Meek Mill made some comments.
Very astute. Like, yeah. And what he did was, he was comparing the violence that he experienced growing up in Philly to what's going on over in Palestine.
That's right. And a lot of people were clowning him. And the reality is that the way that Black people are treated in this country, and the way that most Black people grow up, or the situation in which most Black people live. And I want to be really clear, not me. Yeah. This is not how I grew up. I did not grow up with a ton of gang violence and watching a lot of my friends die. That was not my personal situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to claim ownership over that or try to imply that all Black people have that experience. But a lot of Black people do. Mm-hmm. A lot of Black people do. Whether that is in the inner city or in the rural South. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, the difference between the condition of Black people in the United States and the condition of Palestinians is a matter of scale.
Yeah.
You better believe that if the South was a closed off area that Black people could not leave from and had total control over the Black population, things would look a lot more like Palestine right here in the United States.
And I think what's also important to acknowledge is that throughout a lot of the, I guess we could, Black Lives Matter, quote unquote, like, kind of whatever, protests and actions that happened during that time, parallel actions for these same killed Black people were also happening in Palestine.
Exactly.
Palestinians also are very aware of that connection.
Absolutely. If you are a Black American and you don't already know the ways in which we are deeply connected to Palestinians, go read about Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. And one thing I want to point out, too, is when I was first learning about what has been going on in Palestine, I think I would say I was probably introduced to it all, again in grad school. And this is when we were first seeing each other. And I was like, is this complicated? Like, I don't understand. Because, I mean, that for me, it's always been like, well, this is this hot topic, hot button, third rail issue that, like, is super complicated. And I kind of was, I, like, read a little about it, watched a documentary or two, and I was like, this doesn't seem complicated. And I was like, is it? And you were like, no.
I remember that was like, that.
What, 2015, 2016?
Well, given that we met in 2016.
Okay, so this was 2016.
Wait, 2017?
Yeah. Like, so yeah, I don't know, man. I just, like, even just talking about it right now, just thinking about the horrific things I've seen on Twitter is just like...
It got me on TikTok.
That's right.
When like three people were reading Osama bin Laden... I was like, wait, is radicalization happening on TikTok? I got to get on TikTok. And now I'm just addicted to TikTok.
That was a, oh my God. We're not going to get into that.
I did want to say the Twitter, our Twitter, the Gamer Friends Twitter, has been me, first of all.
Yeah, no, Jordan has been up on it.
Second of all, it's been, I'm not supposed to be on Twitter.
No, you're not supposed to be on Twitter. That's all he's been tweeting about.
But like, you know, popped off and what can you can't not engage.
I mean, I think the wildest thing for me too is when I first heard about October 7th, I didn't know, like looking, I was like, I don't know what's going on. But the first thought that came to my mind was like, great, what now?
Mm.
And now it's like this huge thing that everyone like has an opinion on.
It's very likely going to turn into a regional war, which, you know, depending on who gets involved in the regional war, could turn into a larger war, which is really exciting. I love that for all of us. Just it just makes 2023 really one of the greats, one of the best years. At the same time, not going to catch me condemning anyone fighting for their freedom. Couldn't be me. So hopefully I will be off of Twitter soon. I have been encouraged, is the word I will use, regarding the International Court of Justice. I do recognize that the entire Western Project, as far as I'm concerned, has shown itself to be a house of cards in many ways. Number one...
I mean, I feel like we're the cards are already...
They're falling on.
And we're just frantically still... them up, even though the cards are also made out of water. Who knew? Who knew?
They have no moral authority at all. No. Any moral authority that they could have claimed on October 6th is gone out the window. While the court very clearly and very obviously is trying to do everything it possibly can to make it as easy as possible. I shouldn't say as easy as possible, to make it as opaque as possible to interpret what they're saying as, hey, Israel, stop genociding. That is essentially what has happened. And the ruling was really like, hey, you know, this evidence that they have against you is pretty damning. You should stop doing that and then write us a book report about how you stopped doing it. And they have a month. So congratulations to Joe Biden. You get to bathe in Palestinian blood for another month at least. And perhaps at the end of the month, when another month's worth of genocide has happened, the International Court of Justice will decide to put a stop to what we're watching on our fucking phones every night and what the Palestinians are living under, which is inconceivable. Yeah. There's more stuff, by the way, about why last year was the worst fucking year ever. This is a gaming podcast, and I'm really happy that you are listening to this. Third, someone very close to us passed away. And this is probably going to be a very short section because I think neither of us are feeling great about that, even now, months later.
Yeah.
We do plan on doing some kind of tribute to our dear friend Enya, who you've heard if you've listened to our episodes. She was on more than one episode. She was on two episodes.
And if you have ever been in the Discord, interact with anyone in the Discord, or even thought about the Discord, it's probably a lot of people. You have been touched by Enya's work. One of our gamer friends actually described her as a community leader, which...
Who's the Gamer Friends community manager? That's exactly right.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, oh, yeah, like, of course.
Very much the glue. We only know her actually because her ex used to be a big part of our circle. And we chose her. It was like the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Where everyone chooses Cheryl after the divorce. All of Larry's friends are like, we're going with Cheryl. That's what we collectively kind of did. Like, we're going with Enya. We're going with her. And it just is very frustrating to me that she only escaped that relationship a few months before she passed away. I will forever feel like he robbed her.
I'll save this for the coda of the episode. Yeah, so we are still grieving, and we are going to do tribute a whole episode to her memory, and it's just it's been rough. She was not only, you know, really integral to our work here at Gamer Friends, but was also a very dear friend. And I just, I don't know, this fucked me up. So.
We miss her every day.
We do.
Did other bad things happen that we wanted to talk about?
No, I think we can actually get into some games and jokes.
Gaming podcasts.
Jokes and games.
Before we do, I will say, I think personal stuff really to both of us happened. Personal stuff that airing on a podcast titled Gamer Friends. I would absolutely air it out on a podcast. Don't get the wrong impression. But not on Gamer Friends.
Yeah. What specifically are we talking about?
Well, I can't say because we're recording.
That's fair.
But oh, you could bleep it.
Yeah.
Our mothers.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Being queer is difficult.
Being queer is so difficult. Straight people don't imagine just knowing that your parents love you. Oh, that's hilarious. How much bleeping are you going to have to do?
I don't think I care now, to be honest.
That's funny. So we did record episodes.
We did.
That never were finished.
No.
There was a two-part Destiny episode. For those of you who don't know, Bungie and Destiny have gone a long way toward falling the fuck apart over the last year.
Actually, since really in the last 6 months, I think the last episode was July. So even less time, which makes the feel
yeah, but
even
we
more
never
impressive.
Talked about Lightfall.
No,
before the hiatus. And Lightfall sucked balls. It was a ball gargler. It was awful.
Some people are into that.
That's true. And some people were into this year of Destiny. But a lot of us weren't.
Y'all are suffering.
Stanley and I recorded an episode not just about why we were upset with Lightfall and why it was disappointing. We tried not to just be generic haters, of which there are many Destiny generic haters.
It was low salt, low sodium.
That's true. It was low sodium. It wasn't no sodium. And then we watched the presentation on the final shape together. And we were, spoiler alert, underwhelmed completely. Lo and behold, about 6 months later, they delayed it. And so I should have been in my final shape preparation right now.
Right.
But no, final shape is delayed until June. Ironically, the week that I have to give a fucking presentation somewhere. And so, I can't completely no-life Destiny for the final time because I do think it will be the final time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we recorded that.
So yeah, and we will release that. And I think the plan is to
Update it,
recontextualize the old interview.
Most recent dramas.
With the most recent dramas. Shout out to Stanley for recording with that, even though we have yet to release it. But we will.
He has a new girlfriend. He's doing great.
Oh, congratulations, Stanley. But I think of that Jasmine Sullivan song. Stanley. He was a piece of shit.
Oh.
But that's not you, Stanley.
Yeah.
It's okay. Is Stanley black?
No.
So you don't know Jasmine Sullivan. So it's all good. Go to some Jasmine Sullivan. She needs to cross over. I need her to be
no.
Regular people famous.
No.
No, you're absolutely right. Because when No Name went, everyone famous, I got really annoyed with white people at that concert. Oof.
That was an awful experience.
Awful experience. I'm so mad.
No Name, if you ever hear this, we were at a Brooklyn show of yours and you were going horse.
That's right.
It was the last one before I think you canceled the rest of your tour or something like that.
That's right.
And these white people were horrendous that you had us hanging out with.
Damn. Oof. Oof.
And a backstage pass to me would feel like reparations.
Just you?
To me.
Wow.
No. To me.
Oh, to you.
A backstage pass.
Right.
Would feel like reparations.
Got it.
Thank you. For hearing me.
I would like one too. I know No Name now by 2 degrees of separation, which is very cool. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know most of Hollywood now by that because of your podcast.
Which one?
Oh, my goodness. NAACP Image Award nominee Audio Nerd 64 says, which one? Google him.
So some... Some good things did happen. So yes, Wakanda Forever.
That was this year. That didn't happen last year.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That just happened.
Well, within the last year, we'll go with that definition.
Uh-huh.
Wakanda Forever, the official Black Panther podcast, was nominated.
Which you worked on.
Which I worked on.
Yes.
Was nominated for NAACP.
So basically, you are nominated for an NAACP.
No, project that I was contracted to work on.
AKA, you and your work was nominated
for
the Black Oscars.
Anyway.
You might have a Black Oscar.
No, this is great.
Do you call it a Dominican? A Black Oscar.
You're on your own on that one.
That, you know what? That's your JB Long Island ass.
I can't join you on that one.
Fucking diasporic journey that prevented you from understanding that Caribbean ass joke, which was great.
Anyway, let's pivot to
Puerto Rican. Would that be better?
Speaking of Marvel things,
uh-huh.
We also recorded a spoiler cast.
Yes.
With Jay.
We did. That poor man.
We're going to link to his shit. Please, he's writing
again.
I did
again. On Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we do on Twitter. Please, you know, like, Jay's a homie. Go check his shit out. It's all brilliant. As was his astute thoughts.
That was a funny episode. We were having a good time. That show was awful. It was so bad.
It was really bad.
This is new. We hate the MCU.
We have.
Okay. It's just been loser just, after loser after loser after bomb.
Having an unnatural allegiance. Y'all.
And it's not like them.
It's not like them at all. Anyway, I don't know, but Jay would probably agree with that statement.
Very much like them.
Very much character. So we're gonna share that, and I think we're gonna update it with a spoiler cast for Loki season 2, which I did enjoy.
It was good. Yeah, he didn't like it. We'll have to get him back.
Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah, and or maybe we'll talk about Echo, which we haven't watched. We haven't watched the Marvels.
Well, the Marvels was because our drive-in canceled our tickets and decided to show Taylor Swift's documentary instead.
Oh, that's what I thought it was. Christmas movies.
It was Christmas movies and Taylor Swift.
That is.
Yeah.
So we have that in the can, or I guess half in the can. We won't, you know, we'll mix it up, make it sound pretty. Apparently, my audio editing is
award nominated.
So I think we can figure that out for y'all.
And then we recorded, you say, a regular episode.
We have just a regular episode.
I don't know about that one.
We'll see. It might be
a Patreon episode.
Oh, that might be a good idea because it's old as hell.
So cool.
I was like, I don't know if it's gonna hold up. It's been a minute, but that's a good idea. Speaking of,
I don't even know what we talked about.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. We'll figure it out. Speaking of, we will also update our lovely patrons. I have been pausing payments, but I do need to make up for a couple of months. So we will continue to do that until we're even on content.
Yeah,
money. That was given to us. And we'll update y'all there. And also, I think I want to find another thing to give to patrons instead of the listen-along.
Partially, you don't want to do the listen-along.
No, not that I don't want to do the listen-along. So, like, Disney is, like, on the, like, pressure on the BDS boycott list. And we'll link to that. So, basically, BDS is an organization that's like, hey, please boycott
these. I don't think it's an organization.
Is it an organization?
I don't think it is technically an organization.
Oh, okay. They are the authority on who we should be boycotting if we want to support Palestine. And they did boycott Captain Nigger 4. So we won't be watching that.
Because of Sabra.
Yes.
That's right.
And so Disney has... That was specifically on their list. But Disney is not like an outright place that we're boycotting. Neither is like... McDonald's or Starbucks, but you know, people have been like, we have joined in on that.
I thought McDonald's and Starbucks were officially on the list now.
They're on the organic, like, this is what the Americans have been choosing to boycott part section. It's a quadrant. You'll see when you look. We'll look into the show notes. But Disney basically is on the pressure, not outright boycott. And I pressure could be a million things.
It could absolutely
write to them, unsubscribe, whatever. I think for me, I don't mind like reviewing things that Disney produces, but I don't feel super great about encouraging people to go watch it in that direct way. So we are also going to figure out what to provide as a little perk for patrons. Any suggestions? We have a feedback channel in the Discord, which is linked in the show notes. Or you can email us at info@gamerfriendspodcast.com.
Wow. Okay. So we should definitely put a timestamp to here for people that want to skip.
I mean, everything else. 45 minutes of not games. If you listen to that, y'all, you're a real one.
Alex is just going to be driving his truck, getting fired because of what I said. Terrible.
So get him on the list.
But we do want to talk about games.
We do.
We're not going to do the game of the year thing that we normally do because, frankly, we're not organized enough to do that.
And, yeah.
Oh, see, so you took the out, because I gave you an out.
You did give me an out.
And then you decided,
and then I was like,
maybe I don't want it, but then you took it.
And then I took it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I think we could all probably assume what that out is, so I'm going to keep it moving.
Yeah, you should keep it moving.
Yeah, we should keep it moving.
You specifically should keep it moving.
Let's talk about some games that I did play this past year.
and you should, by the way, come away with a favorite game.
Oh, I have to a favorite.
Yes, we still have to have some semblance of structure, of order.
All right. Well, then let's talk about a game that I played to completion.
One?
You see, that's like, you know, you're making fun of me for the damage numbers at the end of an Apex match. As long by an inch or by a mile, damage was done.
Yeah.
Right? I contributed. Right. Even if that is, you know.
Okay.
Like,
this is why people are attacking DEI.
Yeah, actually, on the equity thing, I always have a couple boxes up. That's my... Spider-Man 2.
Completed?
Yes.
Really?
I didn't 100% it.
Oh, okay.
I finished the story.
Yeah.
And the main side stuff.
Good for you.
Thank you. Brilliant game. Had some pacing issues for me.
When?
The breakneck third act. The game said, I hope you're not doing anything for the next 5 hours because it's the ending now. Let's go. But, I mean, that's really my only complaint. I loved it. It was everything that I love about the first two Spider-Man games made better.
Mm-hmm.
I think they trimmed a lot of the garbage, which is great.
They
I think
did.
Some of the in-city like pop-up missions are, I think, a little too short for me. That's my only other complaint. But they're so tiny. Wonderful story. Again, I think is... I mean, everything that is... Well, I feel like we are just lucky to have such really good Miles Morales content.
That's true.
And they really knocked this out of the park, especially with the side characters. You know, he has like a love interest and a friend who is deaf, and they did like some story stuff with her that I thought was great.
Phenomenal.
Put MJ in the Avengers.
She's ready to get herself. Down.
She's her and Black Widow.
Down.
She redheads just pff.
Send her. What's it called? The Red Room. Get her into the Red Room. She's already got red hair.
Well, I mean that was not a that's not a fun place to be. So
well, you know, it's the comics. Oh. She was. Spoiler alert.
Oh. That is very true. But yeah, I mean...
You should bleep it.
There's really... What is there to say? They knocked it out of the park. And I know a lot of people were mad they didn't win a lot of awards. But a lot of really great games came out this past year. And you can't win them all the time.
No.
I wouldn't know about No, I'm kidding.
Well, I...
but no, it's yet to be seen. It's only a nomination. It's yet to be seen.
I see. Okay. I thought you were going in a different direction.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask you, what other, game award winning game did you start but not finish?
That's the appropriate way to phrase that question. I did start Baldur's Gate 3.
Uh-huh.
I think I ultimately just need to find some people to play it with. Because here's the thing. In concept, it's fantastic. I know the basics now of playing D&D. So, the mechanics of the game mostly make sense. However, when it comes to, here you go, figure it out kind of games, I am incredibly slow. I'm really bad at making decisions because I'm like, what consequence is this action of me giving someone this toothpick in act one going to do at the end of the game? Not fun for me specifically. As we are probably already noted at the beginning of the episode, I am very risk averse. And unfortunately, that does carry through in the video games that I play. But the little bit that I have played by myself has been very fun. And I should pick it back up again because I should be playing games.
Yeah. You played something that was nominated, perhaps out of pity, but nominated nonetheless, that you also didn't finish.
No, I picked Cyberpunk back up again. And
that wasn't even what I was talking about. That's incredible.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Nope. Keep going. Keep going.
Well, what the fuck? Oh, what? I actually don't know what you're talking about. I picked up Cyberpunk again because I wanted to play the new DLC.
Wanted to see if you could fuck.
No, I know you can't.
If you wanted to fuck Idris Elba.
But you can look. I will say this. So, with that new DLC came all these quality of life updates, and they updated the upgrading system and the progression and this, that, and the third. And I gotta say, that is what that fucking game should have shipped with.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
For sure.
It is a much more enjoyable experience. So, I will say, if you are like me and you picked up Cyberpunk when it dropped and you're like, no, which, if you ask me, is a very valid response. Pick it back up again. Try it again. I am enjoying it a lot more. I got basically to the part where I stopped playing last time. I am going to finish the game because I paid money for it. And it is fun-er now, and it makes more sense now to me. Again, I don't do well with RPGs or RPG lights. But yeah. I'm excited to be less depressed to have the motivation to play a video game.
I love that.
Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that pathetic? Your head could be so messed up that you're like, I don't even want to sit down in a comfy-ass chair with a drinkable and play a video game. That's fucked up.
Damn.
Anyway.
Finally, there is a game.
This game was awarded?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
It was not awarded.
I was really into it, too, for a little bit.
It hoped to be awarded.
Todd wanted to take off that leather jacket.
Oh, you figured it out.
And put on a cummerbund at the Game Awards. But unfortunately, Starfield was not awarded much. Here's the thing about Starfield. I do not like Bethesda games. And I think I've said as much.
I think you have.
Yeah. I tried them all. Not all. I tried a good amount of them, and they just aren't for me. This one, I played for more than 5 hours. Actually, I played a pretty decent amount. I think I put at least 20 so far.
You finished the Terramorph thing.
Yeah, the horror mission was fucking awful.
Yeah.
No,
the whole quest. What? Did you finish?
No,
the
I didn't finish.
That's what I meant.
I started it.
Yeah, the first one is barely scratching the surface.
Oh no! Here's the thing. I do like
that. That should have been the whole game, in my opinion.
I it's a little less engaging, a little less fun than, unfortunately, for me, you know, for them, as me, as I am reviewing the game, my favorite franchise of all time, I think one of the probably the best franchises to ever exist in the history of video games, Mass Effect. And, you know, at least this one, you could be gay out the gate. So, I mean, that's some progress.
You didn't have to wait till the sequel.
You have to wait till the third game.
What? No, the second game.
No, that was...
What?
Was it the second game? The problem is that when I play Mass Effect, I play all three back to back to back, and they do kind of blur together. So
I think you could be gay, but there was no sex.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it was just the third one.
I think it was.
No, because you could... You could
Well, you could always... be a woman. You would always be gay woman.
I'm saying you could romance. Who is the guy?
Caden?
There's a choice. Yeah, there's a choice at the beginning of the game, in the first game, where you choose between people.
Ashley and Caden.
Yeah, and I chose Caden or Caden.
That's fucked up. You don't have to.
And then the second one,
Ashley learns. Romance option. Ashley overcomes her speciesism.
No, she's a racist and I let her die.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Caden is not interesting. Anyway.
No, he's not. But
see, now this is really bad. Things are not looking good for Starfield because now we've completely devolved to making Mass Effect jokes. So that is kind of how I feel about Starfield. I the like set piece where you get the first, you know, blah blah blah, I won't say, but that's really cool. And like it looks good. It runs really weird, but it's fun. In like a little, it's like fun in like a Bethesda janky kind of way. Like I kind of get like why y'all still play those games, and I'll finish this eventually. But the momentum kind of petered out, and
a good time to go back will probably be DLC.
Yeah.
And when they fix it,
right?
Well, unless I'm misremembering, that might have been all she wrote for you in 2023.
It was not a good year for me. I'll just, you know.
See, what's interesting about you is that your depression leads you into listless abandon.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas I merely become even more of a gamer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't sit in the spot that you sit on the couch anymore.
True, neither can I.
Didn't you miss this, guys? Did y'all miss this, y'all?
Okay. Okay. So I'll also start with Spider's Men. It was phenomenal. I would like to do a little bit more of a discussion about it.
Yeah,
we need to get our Spider-Man correspondent, Jen.
Let's get Jen on the podcast. Absolutely.
We need to, you know.
We need to flesh it out. No, we absolutely do.
We do. We have to revisit a few things.
Like no
Especially cops. If we're not doing news. You know, we have the time. We can go back.
Yeah.
We'll try to relive
2023. I don't know about all that.
I do have a lot to say individually about it. Namely that the few innovative things that they did do, I thought were so phenomenal that I barely noticed that it kind of just felt like Spider-Man 2, like
2.5.
Well,
1.5?
That's what I was going, but not...
It
didn't bother me that it just kind of felt like more of what we already got. We've talked about this before, whether it's God of War or Horizon or what I hope Ghost of Tsushima is. I don't mind more of a good thing.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You don't need to iterate a million times.
No.
Did you get it? You got it?
Good.
Great. Give me more. And that's what they did. And I agree, it does feel like we were driving along in a nice, you know, sedan, cruising down the highway.
And then you realize. Degrees,
and then all of a sudden.
You're on the Autobahn.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
You're in a fucking Ferrari and the game hits the gas. And after you recover from your whiplash, then it gets real comic booky real fast.
It does.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of other older Spider-Man games. That's a very like my childhood Spider-Man game kind of thing to happen. At the same time, I do understand people getting annoyed with it if they're like, oh, wait, this wasn't the kind of world that we thought it was. But as soon as we got the Doctor Strange mission, I was like, oh, they're going to do some weird shit.
Yeah, it's going to be a little goofy.
But really excited for Wolverine.
Oh, yes.
Very sad about the studio being hacked.
That was fucked
up. And extorted. Yeah. Insomniac, good for you. A+, gold star. What other things did I play that you already talked about? Cyberpunk.
Which you actually got, I didn't even get to the, as much as I was sitting here like, yeah, you just helped, but I didn't even get to that part yet.
Yeah, you didn't even play the DLC. I played the DLC and then I started a new game and I played through the whole thing, including the DLC.
You like Cyberpunk.
I like it a lot more now. I can tell you that.
See, so both of our experience, you already liking it, me feeling kind of eh about it. We both are like, it's better now.
So. I had so much fun running a sword and silenced pistol build.
Oh, yeah. No, you did the whole like,
yeah,
playthrough. And I was like, oh, you were like watching build videos.
Because my first playthrough, I did a net runner. Like, I'm hacking everything. Everyone is dead before I walk in the door kind of thing.
You said this isn't fun.
it was fun.
But, you know,
But I just wanted to do something completely different.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when I play Disco Elysium again, I'm not going to play the same way that I did the first time. Because I already know the story. The fun is going to be all of the various interactions that I can get.
Right.
So, while changing from street kid to corpo was not a huge difference.
Right.
It was like enough. I will say that my biggest critique of Cyberpunk is not even the gameplay anymore. First and foremost, I played on console.
Right.
They didn't fix all the bugs and shit on console. They just didn't. I would argue a buggier experience.
Really?
This second time. However, it was like fun Bethesda bugs. It wasn't game breaking. I can't play this shit. Give me my money back. It was like, oh, look at the car floating off into the sun. Like, that's funny.
they do that in the future.
Yeah, like it wasn't bothersome to me. But it did bug me a little bit when I heard some reviewers like SkillUp, for instance, who I generally agree with, being like, it's completely fixed. Or the trailer when Idris Elba is like, the game's fixed, which I thought was a very funny and bold thing to do.
That was bold.
Maybe on PC, but
not for you.
Not entirely for me.
Shout out to anyone who played Cyberpunk 2077 on a PS4. You are the strongest among us.
I don't know how you would. But listen. The game is playable for sure on console.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I had a bad experience. I had so much fun.
But, you know,
to say it's like bug-free, that's just not true. The DLC itself, phenomenal.
Okay.
I got every ending. I loved it. I had a lot of fun.
You played through it multiple times.
Well, I saved at pivotal moments.
Scum saved.
I wanted to experience all the endings. I did what
That's an interesting way to define that.
No, scum saving.
There's no shame in scum saving.
No. Scum saving is like you save before a critical role in an art. Like, scum saving is what I would do in Disco Elysium.
Or Baldur's Gate when you play with
Yes, or Baldur's Gate. That's exactly right. Not Cyberpunk.
Okay.
Because there aren't. your choices.
You're like matter, Detroit Become Human. You're not, you want to see the spider web. And,
exactly. That's right. There's only one way to go. You choose.
Or Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Which song are they going to
sing? Cyberpunk, to me, the choices were very much, are you making a left at this fork or are you making a right at this fork?
Uh-huh.
Whereas in some other games, you could make a slight left or a slight right, and then you could whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to keep going with that analogy. Very good. Excited for Cyberpunk 2 and whatever else is coming from them. Hopefully they've learned their lesson. City Skylines 2, you didn't talk about.
No.
But I'm just going to say up front, had a ton of fun with it initially. Its problems...
I haven't heard you talk about it in weeks.
Well, it's the problems with it become very demoralizing. I have to use... It's not a mod and it's not cheating. It's unlocking the developer mode. There is a very bad bug in the game where eventually your land value just skyrockets all across the whole map. And it basically becomes an industry killer. You can't build suburbs anymore. There are some really fundamental problems with it. I want to do, you guessed it, a whole episode about it because the launch was a disaster. What I thought was going to be a layup has turned into a nightmare. We still don't have mods.
Yeah, no, y'all.
Not officially, anyway.
Right.
I still want to finish my city before.
It's very impressive, y'all. I mean,
my city's great.
Jordan sometimes streams, or when he was playing it, he was streaming it.
That's true, I was.
You know, if you're in the Discord, you could be looking at his very impressive city. He tells me about the minute details.
I used to get a nightly update.
I used to get a nightly update.
Oh, that's right.
Goodness. 30 minutes.
Now that I can solve some of those problems, I want to keep going. I don't want to start a modded city because whenever they formally introduce mods, they've warned everyone it might break your other mods.
Right.
And I don't want to like work on something with that level of detail that I will eventually have to abandon.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. That makes absolute sense.
So I'm trying to stick to a strictly vanilla city. I'm still having fun with it, but the problems are becoming really difficult to ignore. And eventually we'd like to talk much more deeply.
City, you know, it's so funny. We were just talking about this the other day, how like you could take whatever like niche hobby that you like just discovered 5 minutes ago and see two people arguing about some even more niche detail within this niche hobby that you never even thought would be possible, but they are passionately yelling at each other in a thread that's upvoted, downvoted to hell.
That's exactly right.
And that's how I feel about City Skylines. I'm like, wow, y'all are like really into this shit.
A great example of that is also Hitman.
That's right.
The trilogy is leaving Game Pass, and I had never finished it, but it had been downloaded for a really long time. So I decided to finish before it left. And it was great. It was another Hitman. I've talked about Hitman before on the podcast. It's just more Hitman to the point where they remastered the first two games in the series, and now it's called Hitman World of Assassination. And it's just for the price of Hitman 3, you get Hitman 1 and Hitman 2, plus a roguelike epilogue mode called Freelancer. It has a thriving community that I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Realize. No, we were watching some speedruns and people were.
Oh, my God.
They were killing five. So people make, or I guess mod. I don't know. This is
no mods. There's no jumping in the game. So if you step on something.
No, I was just going to. So, like usually in Hitman, you got like, you know, one person to kill.
Right.
But in this, like five people that are like, if you were regularly playing, would just be regular NPCs.
Yes.
But like, they're like five people. And these people are just killing them in like 30 seconds.
It was nuts.
And then done. And they're out. A knowledge of a game that I don't think I've ever dug into anything as deep. My goodness.
I don't play at that level.
What? Oh, yes.
I don't play at that level. But it's just a great series. this will probably not be out by the time it leaves Game Pass, because I think it is the end of January that it is leaving. But, you know, it's not that expensive. It's really good.
I mean, a 3-for-1, especially if you're not playing.
I think I might buy it for myself.
I
just
do,
to revisit it.
I like the idea of Hitman. I just think it's...
You don't have the patience.
I don't have the patience. I like a fast loop.
You could just go and shoot everyone. Like, there's nothing really stopping you from playing that way.
Yeah, but that's not... Spies don't do that. That's not fun.
Violating the spirit of the game.
Exactly.
Starfield. I also played. I just noticed there's a game on here that you played that I didn't play, that we didn't talk about. So we'll have to circle back to that. But I also played Starfield. I, like Cedric, was not bogged down by Bethesda bullshit. It's been a very long time since I played the kind of Bethesda game that Starfield is. Mm-hmm. I played and loved Deathloop, which is a Bethesda Studios game, but not a Bethesda Softworks game. That was very different from Starfield, which is basically just Skyrim in space. I didn't hate it. I love science fiction. I love science. I love physics. I love space. IRL. Like, mm-hmm. I'm into that kind of stuff. I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. A hard science video game, I'm fine with that. And a lot of the complaints are like, oh, why don't we have a vehicle on this moon? I would love a vehicle. I agree with you. It would be great.
You need the vehicle.
It would be great to have a vehicle. I don't fucking care. Really? I don't actually care that much. I had a great time with it. I didn't engage with the end game, which I won't spoil because it's actually part of the story. Mm-hmm. But the new game plus / the end game is... interesting. I didn't like how it works. And because I didn't like how it works, I kind of lost interest in doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really. That said, I completely understand why it didn't win any awards. I don't understand how it took 10 years to make. I don't think it made any sense for Xbox to like hitch its wagon to this game. This to
well,
me,
I mean, I'm sure all the employees that were just laid off would agree.
Fair. To me, this felt like a Halo-esque launch, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just another game.
Yeah.
That came out.
It did kind of, yeah, I agree. It kind of felt like it needed some more polish and to come out with the next generation Xbox kind of thing.
They should have absolutely just kept this in the fucking oven for a few more years, made everything look a lot nicer.
Shareholders aren't going to pay for their own yachts.
True. Capitalism truly ruins everything, including art. And yes, the sooner everyone realizes that, the better off we'll be. Because how many... half of the City Skyline shit is because they rushed it out the door. Cyberpunk is because they rushed it out the door. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same story over and over again. What took forever to come out and is being lauded as perhaps one of the greatest games ever made?
Most things that Nintendo makes.
Also, Baldur's Gate 3.
That too.
I think it's very clear what's going on here. And I understand, oh, not all studios have infinite money and infinite time and stuff like that. I totally get it. I really do. But
it
if I
possible.
Go to a restaurant, I think I actually make the same analogy in the Destiny video with Stanley.
Oh, God.
If I go to a restaurant and the food sucks, it doesn't matter how hard everyone in the kitchen worked.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how loud Carmi yelled at everyone.
That's right. Oh, my God. Marcus could do things to me. Does things to me.
I should have known better than to make that reference.
That is a man.
I completely derailed what he was. I'm so sorry, y'all.
That's your own fault. I don't remember anymore either.
If the rest is not.
Now I'm thinking about that man's donut.
If you had bad food at a restaurant, it doesn't matter how hard the people in the kitchen worked if the food is bad.
Friend of the show, Carolyn Pettit, tweeted something about this. I don't remember exactly what the context was, but she was kind of like, I know that a lot of you have friends that work on video games or you work on video games yourself. not liking something or thinking that something isn't good is not personal.
It was about games journalism because for some reason, every like 3 to 6 months, there has to be like, I don't know, people being like, journalism isn't a real, or like critiquing and reviewing isn't a real thing. And it's just like, oh, what game was it? I can't remember what game it was, but like IGN gave it like some historic for them, like low score, and everyone was like freaking out. And it's just like, if it's ass, it's ass. Like, we have to be able to say that things are ass.
Yeah.
I can't remember what game it was.
Anyway. I think that Carolyn is also a big, like, video game reviewers have a higher responsibility person.
Yeah. They're doing a job.
Yeah. But like, critique is important. Like, she talks a lot about how the art of critique is being lost and that a lot of reviews review as fam.
Yes.
And not like the way that we talk about Marvel stuff.
Yes. Absolutely.
We are not coming to our Marvel stuff
as journalists.
Not entirely without any critical lens, but like, we're obviously not.
There is a difference between like content creators, which is the pool that we're in, and journalists. And you should go to those things, go to those places for two separate things.
Yeah, that's right.
And they'll overlap a little bit, but like not really.
Yeah. And I do think that a lot of modern gaming, just media stuff in general, really is fan-centric.
Well, and I think, I mean, I don't want to talk about labor, but that's what it all boils down to, right? I mean, once the job of all that stuff is now increasingly becoming more individualized because content creators are popping up left and right because it's a viable way to make money. It's the gig economy of critique.
Yeah.
Like the gig economy of anything else. It's awful. It's all bad.
Moving on. Diablo. I played a lot of Diablo. You played barely any of it.
No, I didn't play it at all. That's not
you played me. A little bit of it because I was trying to get you to play it. And I, you know, you played Daddy for a little bit, remember?
I played Daddy?
The Barbarian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My Barbarian character's name is Daddy.
Ridiculous.
I got to rename him to Marcus.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I did start it. And I remember, like, the opening cinematic. I was like, this is devilry.
It's demonic.
It's like, this is too much. Like, the lights were off and all, like, the red lights were on. I was like, nah.
Yeah, I put some red lights on.
This is going to give me nightmares.
This is as demonic as I go. It really wasn't that bad. And then the cutscene at the end is one of the greatest cutscenes I've ever seen in the history of video games.
I feel like y'all really like Diablo. Whatever team does their cinematics, they do a great job too. Yeah. I was like, I'm watching a fucking movie right now.
It was phenomenal. Deborah Wilson, incredible.
As always.
It did lose its flavor quite quickly.
Well, yeah, because I know like they kind of were trying to pivot to a live service kind of thing. Right?
In retrospect, it makes less sense to me than ever. Mm. So Diablo 3 had seasons.
Right.
When I think live service, I do think there's a distinction between an ongoing game and a live service game.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, for a long time, Destiny just did DLC drops. Those were the content drops.
Right.
There were not seasons in the same way. They pivoted to a seasonal model. And at first I was really excited about it, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel foolish. That wasn't always the case. So Diablo is kind of like the inverse. They only ever released one big DLC, but they did do seasons to keep people playing.
Mm-hmm.
In those seasons, you always had to start a new character from scratch and play through the game or skip it and then, you know, like grind the end game basically with that new character every season. I assumed, and a lot of other people, like a lot of Destiny people, assumed that by quote unquote switching over to a live service model, that you would create a character and that character would perpetually engage with all of the content.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. the seasonal storylines require you to create a new character to mm-hmm. engage with them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. And a lot of other people didn't want to do that either. That's part of the reason why I didn't do it with Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to do that.
Fair.
There were some people that were like, oh, well, that's obviously what it was the whole time, mm-hmm. which I guess shame on me. I misread, I misunderstood or whatever. But when that became clear, like, oh, you're going to lose all the progress that you've made, that was tough. There was also a really big nerf patch. And it nerfed all of my enthusiasm. It just wasn't as fun to play anymore. It didn't feel like the grinding was going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. And literally wasn't. At a certain point, you were grinding for no reason because you're just going to start a new character again. Mm-hmm. And so for someone who's like, Diablo is their game, the mm-hmm. way that like Destiny is my game, I get it. But for someone like me, where Diablo is just something I'm playing to buy reprieve away from Destiny, you know, yeah. It didn't stick around. Okay, we only have a few more that we wanted to talk about. Before you talk about the game that we missed, second from the bottom, that I didn't play, I did just want to note, I didn't play Baldur's Gate. I will soon, hopefully. I didn't play Jedi Survivor. I would like to. I didn't play the Horizon DLC because City Skylines 2 destroyed my winter break. That's when I was supposed to do it, but I got really wrapped up into City Skylines 2. I didn't play Alan Wake because I'm a scaredy cat, but I do plan on watching it. And I didn't play Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, even though I heard incredible things. And so
I wanted to pick that one up too. Because what was that? That other music one that was on the surprise drop, little white boy. Rock music, guitar. I had to finish that one, but that one was fun. So I would imagine that this one is also fun.
While you're looking that up, I will just briefly say Case of the Golden Idol, one of my games of the year 2022, I guess, had two DLC drop last year, and they were both phenomenal. Both of them were prequels. And we got an announcement that a sequel is coming this year sometime. So I will be playing more Case of the Golden Idol soon. And I can't wait. It is hands down the best detective game that I've ever played. And I learned recently that Game Maker's Toolkit on YouTube apparently was part of the inspiration for the creation of Case of the Golden Idol, because he was complaining about how a lot of detective games aren't really detective games. They're not really about deduction. And so the people who made Case of the Golden Idol decided to change that, and thank God for them.
Yes. Hi-Fi Rush was the...
Good for you. You found it.
That was fun. I have to finish that.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us about...
Payday 3. I had a lot of fun. Played it with three friends. Shout out Dump Truck, Cat, and Ryan. It was fun. Their servers suck. So, like, half the time...
Do they still suck?
Apparently. Like, I think I, like, checked in with them. I was like, oh, we should, like, play some more. Like, you know, the server's still ass? And they're like, yeah. So, I have to check again. But the servers are not good. So, things are dropping out. Things are not working. It's nah, yeah. But otherwise, it's fun. You're just robbing people. It's a fun time. I do feel like this one is funny enough, as much as I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, you have to play in the spirit of Hitman. I want to be in the spirit of a robbing game where I don't want to like have to shoot my way out. That's not fun to me. Uh-huh. But a couple of the missions kind of like force that. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's not as fun.
Yeah, it's not.
I kind of want to, you know, I want to be a fucking robber, you know?
That's right.
They don't have AK-47s, they're robbers. Anyway, it's a fun little party game. You got your three friends. That's kind of how I feel about Lethal Company.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was the last thing. But we both have played it.
You know, Lethal Company is fun. It's a fun time to play a game. We play with mods, so we have like more companies. So you can play with more than just four total people. We've had like, I think up to eight.
Yeah.
And it is too fun. Many. Too many. But it is fun to play a collaborative group game on like Among Us, where everyone's like out for them. It's like fun to like do something together, or like Fall Guys. It's fun to have a party game where you all have like a common goal and doing something. But, you know, it's just scary, you know? And
I don't leave the ship.
Jordan is the man in the chair. I was the man in the chair until Jordan started playing. And now Jordan's the man in the chair. So now I have to go. People have put me in harm's way multiple times now.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick of it. It's fun. It is like, you know, I don't like horror games. So like, I'm just playing to play with people. But if y'all like it, I love it, you know? And y'all, I'll have fun continuing to play it.
It just doesn't sound like you love it, but
it's just not for me. It's fun. It's well put together. Very simple mechanic. You like land on a planet or land on a moon, go into this building, take shit out of it to sell to the company.
Which is just an octopus.
It's just an octopus. I know. And then you just keep doing that. And you just have to keep finding more stuff to sell. You have to make your quota. And then unless the octopus, I don't know, throws you away or something. I don't know. Fuck.
We failed to meet the quota one time.
One time.
And we got ejected into space.
Yeah. So.
And for the record, we failed because two times that we landed, everyone died immediately. Like, yeah. We opened the doors and we were immediately.
There's a mechanic called an eclipse. Like, if you're on the moon. So, if you're on, you have until 8 to 5, basically. And by 5 p.m., it's when shit starts getting real. The monsters, the freaks come out at night and then they eat you. So, you want to, you know, you got to get on. But when it's eclipse, the freaks are there already. They're like, oh, daylight savings. What time is it? Oh, I'm supposed to be out eating niggas. So, they're there. So, you know. That's not fun. When you land with an eclipse, you ain't got no weapons except for a stop sign and a shovel. And the more I talk about the game, the less it makes sense to someone who hasn't played it. So watch some gameplay. It's cute.
Although I do have to say, watching gameplay is not going to prepare you.
No, not at all. It doesn't prepare you at all.
I was not prepared.
It's still scurry. It is dark. And a nigga, you know, people be taking out the light bulb because you can set a light bulb that's in the thing, but then all the lights come out. I'm like, damn, why don't we save the light bulb for the last thing that we take so that way there's some fucking light. But no one wants to ever do that. It's the first damn thing that they fucking want to take. I have no feelings about that, clearly. So, $10, have some fun. Scare yourself shitless.
Yeah. Even for the man in the chair, it's not all fun. It's not all rainbows and daisies.
No, but you need to be on that walkie-talkie a little bit. Faster.
Faster. TV. Well, half the time, scrolling we don't through. Have walkie-talkies because you're dead.
Well, that's not my... I'm alive because I don't... I hang behind people. I hang around people.
I personally...
I hear a yelp. I hear left. A... like, the littlest... I'm out. we out. That's how I believe
I watched you walk.
I'm a runner. People will, you know, start gathering things out by the door, and then I'll be like, great. I'm going to take this from the door to the ship. I got you. I'm a runner. It's important.
It is important, and I'm glad that you've been able to find a niche.
Thank you.
For yourself.
Man of the chair. I'm the runner.
Yeah. Well, those are games, most of which that came out last year or that we engaged with last year. Out of your experiences gaming,
don't ask me for my favorite.
What would you say is your favorite game? Why are you doing this?
I just feel like it's mean. Like, we could have just moved on.
Is it mean?
I have to give it to Spider-Man because it's the only game that I finished this year.
You're making it mean.
Woo! I mean that's an award. I think Spider-Man alleviated my depression enough, delighted me enough throughout my depression to finish it. And no other game met that feat. So Spider-Man 2 is my game, my favorite game of the year.
For a brief week and a half, I did think that better things were possible while I was playing Spider-Man.
Like, I had hope.
And then it ended. And the grim reality
set in.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to have to agree. It's a Spider-Man household. Shocking. Over here. I bet if I had played and finished Baldur's Gate, it would probably be Baldur's Gate for me. That's true. Guess what? It didn't come out on Xbox for a while. And I played Starfield on PC, and I don't want to sit in my chair for hours and hours and hours again.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate is like a 100-hour game, and that's daunting to me.
It's very funny you say that, because I bet the average minimum is in the thousands on Steam.
Oh.
Not literally, but everyone I know is just playing it over and over and over and over.
And I'm still stuck on the first place.
Endo said in the Discord the other day that he hasn't even gotten past the first act, but he's put over 100 hours into
it. See, that's because he has decision paralysis. He's running around.
No, I think he has side quest paralysis, which is exactly
what there was like this little goblin that you can like get out or not. And I was like, well, maybe I should get out. And then I was like, wait, I can't break it because I'm not strong enough. I can't convince homeboy to give me thing. So I got to go find a lock. Now I got to go find a lock pick. But I don't have anything, so now I got to go fight something to go have something to trade for the lockpick to go dig. It is just a whole thing. I can see why D&D games go on for forever now.
You know, that's actually how I initially felt about Starfield. Before I realized that all the locations were copy and pasted, I was like, oh, wow, like, I was on my way here. And then a ship hailed me, and so I went there instead, and now I'm doing a whole thing with this. And it was great until it wasn't anymore.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to have some transformative gaming experiences in 2023. We're gonna try to be back.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah. We're gonna apply pressure to one another. The delirium is setting in. We should sign off.
Yeah.
Thank you to our patrons for sticking it out.
We will continue pausing up until we've, you know, given you enough content back.
So we paid our debts.
We paid our debts, and we'll update y'all there when that will be. But at least the next couple months, probably few. Yeah.
Well, I think that was a show.
I think it was a show.
We will see you soon.
See you soon.
Roughly 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
For Black History Month. For our fifth year. I don't think we should say that. We should be
call it an anniversary. Like, we, you know, like the pot. It's not like, you know, we stopped paying for the feed and then the shit went away. It's still technically up. So, like, even like if married couples are like, oh, we were separated for 3 months, you don't count that.
That's true. You don't change the anniversary.
You don't change the anniversary date based on some separation.
That's true.
So
we're celebrating.
Well, it's an anniversary.
Pop the bottles.
And
how many years?
Is it 5 or 6?
I don't want to actually know the answer anymore. I don't actually want to know.
This is the longest creative project I've ever done in my life.
Well,
that's great.
Good night.
Good night.